Now we find in verses 5 and 7 here, that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vineyard undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hired servant, for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof be meat. Now this is an interesting thing that God did. This shows how the physical needs of the people were supplied during the sabbatic year. The land was so productive that it was not necessary to plant it. We're told that down in the Euphrates Valley in the days of Abraham, it wasn't necessary to plant grain at all. The grain grew without planting. And the ground in Israel produced enough to supply the needs of the owner, his servants, and the stranger. And God would permit, by the way, the poor people to come in during this period, and they could get what they wanted to eat. I don't think they were permitted to get any more than that, but they were permitted to get enough to eat. This is a very remarkable way God had of taking care of the poor people. So in the sabbatic year, the man, all he could get was just what he needed to eat. He couldn't use it to market it. This is the year that he's going to feed his family, feed his servants, and the stranger and the poor people could come in and get theirs. I remember that when I was a pastor of a church in Pasadena, I had a very fine neighbor. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he owned a great vineyard over in La Cañada. Now, you couldn't put a vineyard over there today because of the subdivisions that had been put there. But in that day, there were quite a few vineyards up there. And believe me, he had a good one. They grew these fine Concord grapes up there, and there are not too many of them grown in California. And he was a very generous man, a good neighbor, and he'd always bring me a basket or two during the season. And being a Seventh-day Adventist, he had to sort of goad me from time to time. And one day he went after me in earnest. He said to me, "Why don't you keep the Sabbath day?" And I explained to him that I did. But I kept the Sabbath day every day. He said, "What day do you keep?" And I said, "Saturday." And he looked at me in amazement, but I didn't stop there. I said, "Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday." And then I said, "I'll start all over again." He says, "What do you mean?" Well, I says, "Sabbath today means rest, means redemption rest. You cease from your works and you trust Christ." Well, he didn't want it that way. And he said, "I think you ought to keep the Sabbath day, just like they did in Israel." Well, I said, "Are you keeping the Mosaic law?" And he assured me he was. And then I gave him this 25th chapter, Leviticus. I told him, I said, in connection with the sabbatic day, there was a sabbatic year. Every 7 years was a sabbatic year, and the land would lie fallow. If a man had a vineyard, he is to let the poor people in. Now, I said, "You told me that you keep the Mosaic law, and you tell me you keep the Sabbath day, and you think I should keep it." Now, I said, in connection with the Sabbath day, there is a sabbatic year. That year, the poor people can go in and get grapes in the vineyard. Now, I said, "You let me know when you're going to observe the sabbatic year, and I'll get my basket and come into your vineyard and glean grapes," because I said, very frankly, "I'm among the poor people, and I'd like to come in and get my grapes that year." He said, "You better not come in there without my permission." Well, may I say to you, you're not keeping in the Mosaic law. He was keeping a third of it, because not only did that belong to it, but also a year of Jubilee belonged to it. And this was God's way, you see, of telling his people that there was a curse on the land, and that he never permitted any one of them to hog the land and not let the poor people be taken care of. God was thinking of the land and the poor people at the same time. A curse had been put upon the ground. God told Adam, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." And it also speaks of a day that's coming in the future when the curse will be removed, And Isaiah 35 says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." You see, all of this had a great spiritual message for the people, and it gave the ground opportunity to re-enrich itself because all of the sustenance was being taken out. This was God's method because the land has never so far been able to support mankind on this earth. And today, the fear of a population explosion. Now, when the curse is removed, my friends, this ground will produce in a way it's never produced before since the fall of man. Now, after the sabbatic year, there comes another series of sevens. And that series of sevens, you have to go seven sabbatic years. That means every 7 years of the sabbatic year. So seven times seven will put you up 49 years.